What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Zach Noble of the Four Seasons podcast and Ball is Life. How are we doing, fellas?
Doing awesome. Happy to be here and ready to go in depth with some T-Pups.
Zach, always a pleasure to have you on the pod. Then Nick, once again, rolling on with the series.
We are rolling on with the Minnesota Timberwolves today. You want to check out any of the previous shows, head to iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But before we talk next season, we're going to look back at last year. T-Wolves 36-46. Obviously, that whole Jimmy Butler drama earlier in the season had that trade kind of changed expectations for the team. But how would you describe last season in one emoji, Zach?
I mean, that was tough to think about, but it made it really easy once I came across it, and that was head explosion. Just the one where your brain's going to pieces.
I have the emoji where it's like the stern face. You know, the eyes are a straight line, the mouth's a straight line. Because I think I was pretty high on the Timberwolves coming in the last year. And obviously, they underperformed to a large extent.
Yeah, I went with the sleeping emoji here because, like, after the Jimmy Butler trade, no disrespect, Zach, the Timberwolves weren't just at the top of the line. There just wasn't really a ton of hype and interest around them. So it was just kind of like a slept-on season because of the expectations you had going to the year with Jimmy Butler being a playoff team. Then after that trade, everything just kind of changed. But what would be the biggest positive takeaway of last year for Minnesota?
Man, okay, so for me, I'm an optimist. I see the positives in everything, at least I try to, and in Minnesota sports, I mean, it's very, very hard. I mean, being a lifelong Minnesota sports fan, so you got to dig at times, and last year, honestly, once Jimmy Butler left, I mean, fresh start, I feel like we figured out our future and what we want to do, the path going forward. We're not being held hostage by anything. So that was the first positive. Second off, Katz and Rocco's defense, and then Okogie's help or hope on the defensive side of the ball as well. I feel like we have the potential to be a really good defensive team as long as we can get a little bench defense. I like the pieces we got from a defensive perspective. That's the biggest thing for me. I mean, everybody's been bagging on Cat's defense for years, and he finally showing a lot more signs of being a pretty positive to, I think he's got a chance to be a really good defender this year. And honestly, I don't know. I think there's more potential on this team than people think.
Yeah, my biggest positive takeaway was Karl Anthony Towns. Once Jimmy Butler left Minnesota and Towns was able to kind of run free again, especially after the car accident where he had the real chance of losing his life with how bad the accident was. And I remember the next night or two nights later, he played the Pacers and he had like a ridiculous, like 30-20 game. Towns is one of the most talented big men we have in the league. And once again, last year he showed that. I agree, Zach, not known for his defense, but I feel like last year he definitely took strides to be a better rim protector and defender.
Yeah, obviously Kat was a monster, but I think biggest positive takeaway for me was just Josh Okogie. I think anytime a rookie kind of comes onto the scene, has some of that defensive potential that Zach was talking about, I think that's just a real big pop for a team, especially a young team where, you know, contending instantly isn't really going to be the case. You need to nail some of these draft picks, and it looks like they did with Okogie. But what would be the biggest negative takeaway from last year?
Yeah, so that's pretty easy to me. I don't think you can really have anything else, but it's Andrew Wiggins' decline. But honestly, the optimist in me thinks that a lot of it over the last 2 years, because it's been a two-year decline for him now after 3 years of straight progression and what led him to his max contract, which makes me want to throw up. basically, it was Jimmy Butler. I want to point the finger at Jimmy Butler, but it's not going to be pointed there for a long time. He's got literally 20 games in my estimation, or else all my hope for Andrew Wiggins is out the window. Jeff Teague also declined as a player a lot, and we still have $19 million invested in him this year, and he's our best point guard, which is another unfortunate thing. So those two negatives are very, very glaring to me.
Yeah, I mean, the one negative that I want to touch on as well is obviously Andrew Wiggins secured his bag, got his superstar into making money, and then showed out to not be anything near close to what that money is worth. Obviously, Zach said, took major strides backwards, shooting 41% from the field, 33% from three, averaging 18 points per game. If only it was OKC every night. So Wiggins is definitely the biggest takeaway. And also, just Minnesota's defense in general. Obviously under Tom Thibodeau, it just never really came together in Minnesota. Last year, they shot the second worst, or they were the second worst three-point defensive team. The team shot 37.8% against them, which only was the 29th in the league. So defense was a big negative as well.
Yeah, I think the Jimmy Butler drama just is what's going to really pop off. You guys mentioned Andrew Wiggins and Jeff Teague. They're both great picks. But when you think about last year and just what went bad for the Timberwolves, it was like before the season even started, it was just starting with bad vibes. And I think it's really hard to have your season pop off where your quote-unquote leader is like causing such a distraction, forces a trade, a whole bunch of young guys. Now everything's kind of in disarray. And it's almost like they really didn't have a shot from the start.
Yeah, so I want to address, though, right after that trade, Robert Covington – came out and was fierce as ever. I mean, he was leading the league in takeaways, steals, tips, just holding opponents to field goal percentage. He was up there towards the top. I mean, granted, he was all defense first team the year before, and then he comes in and he's helped leading our defense. We were like a top five defense for like 10, 15 games there. So I think the guy can change the world for us. I'm one of the biggest Robert Covington guys there are, especially being he was on our show. So that always gets the Four Seasons boost, but I think he can change and really develop these guys defensively in a positive way, where Jimmy Butler is kind of like that big brother that nobody wants to be around.
Yeah, that's always picking on everybody instead of, setting the tone. But and Covington dealt with injuries a lot of the last year, but moving on from last season, talking about next year, via the OTG Power Rankings, via our staff, the T-Wolves are coming at number 21. Do you guys think this is fair, too high, too low? What are your thoughts?
So I think it's fair. Do I think it's right? No. But I think it's fair. Absolutely. So especially after last year and the allotment of talent around the league, I think this is the most parity coming in. And where the Timberwolves, I mean, there's a lot of unknown factors coming into this season. So I think that's a very reasonable position. I personally would have them closer to probably 17, maybe 15, 17, somewhere in there. I definitely think they'd make the playoffs in the East. I almost guarantee that. But in the West, I think they're at best battling for an eighth seed.
I think 21's fair. I think obviously Towns is going to have to carry this team. But also, like, the rankings for me are going to determine – are going to depend on what kind of Andrew Wiggins we see this year. How far of a digression are we seeing from Jeff Teague? How healthy is Covington? What are the rookies? What does the young guys of Culver look like? Like Zach mentioned, there's a lot of unknown with this team. So I think 21 is fair, but I could definitely see them getting as high as 17 or even maybe falling a couple spots lower.
Yeah, I think there's potential with this team, but 21 is fair for me just because, like, really the only thing I feel really sure about going into the season is Cat. And then the rest of the roster, there's just a lot of question marks about offensive playmaking, the perimeter scoring, things along those lines, which we'll talk about later on. But, Zach, quick question. Would you have the Timberwolves above the Kings, Pelicans, or Mavs, or would you have them under those?
That's the perfect question. You're a smart man. So, yeah, I would have them below the Kings and above the above the Mavs for sure. The Pelicans are the big debate. So that's the really hard one. And I honestly, I haven't made my Western Conference predictions yet, so it's tough for me to say at this point. But as of right now, to be honest, I'd give the Timberwolves a little edge on the Pelicans.
I think that's fair. There's a lot of young guys, and that's really the bunch that I think is the separation really between 17 and 21 in terms of the rankings, in terms of Western Conference teams. The other East team squeezing there are the Pistons and Magic. But moving on to the offseason, draft pick-wise, Jarrett Culver at number 6. Zach, were you excited about this pick?
I was elated. So
nice
first. First of all, the Timberwolves made that trade in order to get Darius Garland. They were trying to get the 4 or 5 or whatever they could. They wanted this guy, and Darius Garland, I definitely had him ahead of Culver on my board. I'm a huge Garland guy, and he would have fit perfect for what we got going on right now. But Culver was a need indeed. So with that said, Timberwolves don't make moves in the draft, and they don't necessarily make big moves ever with our history outside of Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins. So they're getting bigger as we get more recent, I'm sure. But draft history, not so much in the big scheme of things. So I loved it. I didn't think Dario Saric was ever going to get better in Minnesota. We didn't utilize him. I liked him as a player. He just wasn't the right fit, nor did we like him. So why not get rid of him? And I'm all about trading up to get a much better player in your guy. And I think Culver honestly has really, really high potential. I think he has top 15 player in this league type potential. So I'm very excited about him. He's definitely going to be good on defense sooner than later. It's just his offensive game really uncertain for me.
Yeah, Culver, obviously, there's been a lot of videos of him in the gym this summer, and he's got a very nice jump shot. Obviously, you take gym workouts, you know, with a grain of salt because everybody doesn't miss in open court gyms when they're not being covered. But again, a guy who plays very good defense, as you mentioned, Zach, did average 18 points per game his senior year. Went from 38% his freshman year to only 30% from three his sophomore year. So that's a little bit of a concern. But again, a guy who's very talented, 6'6", has good length, and the shooting form does look good. And now it's, you know, obviously, how does he develop alongside Karl Anthony Towns, Okogie, and Wiggins?
Yeah, and I like the part that you mentioned, Zach, trading Sark, because you could tell he just wasn't really going to fit in Minnesota, and then going to get a guy you really like. I think that's a smart move. Any thoughts on the 43rd pick, Jalen Noel?
Yeah, so first of all, I also didn't like the guy Phoenix got, even though Gerson Rosas is a genius and would never have taken that guy so high. But if you look at it that way, I would have never drafted Cameron Johnson at 10 for Phoenix. Yeah. So that makes me
I think a lot of teams might say that.
Yeah, I think that's a popular opinion. He is one of the reaches in this draft. But Jalen Noel, I'm glad you mentioned him, because him, along with Naz Reid, I think are both going to get a decent amount of playing time, especially Naz Reid was really, really good in summer league. Noel was up and down. I mean, he had his moments, but I'm pretty pumped for both those guys. And we've always had guys I've been excited about, Kata Bates-Diop from last year that are later on, but usually they don't play because we're not normally the team that goes that deep into our bench and really plays these young guys. But Ryan Saunders, I think he's going to let it fly and just try a lot of these guys out and go deep into the rotation. I personally like the Jalen Noel pick, being we're going to need more offense and we needed his position. So I'm pretty excited about him and Naz.
Yeah, Naz was actually a guy I caught in summer league, and he definitely just brought a different type of energy and toughness out in that summer league court. But moving on to free agent and trades, they brought in Jake Lehman, Noah Vonleh, Jordan Bell, Trevion Graham, Shabazz Napier. Thoughts on these guys, and which one was your favorite acquisition?
Yeah, you got it. So honestly, people look at these and it's like, what a joke. I mean, the bunch of no names, the average casual fan, but little do they realize, you guys know, I guarantee it, being you cover the Nets closely, like, we actually got some low-end value here. There's some true value, especially from Trevion Graham and Shabazz Napier. I mean, as long as they're not our 6th, 7th guys and they're closer to our 9, 10 guys, I'm going to be very happy. But I am very happy with Bell, Vonleh, and Lehman. I just think they're bringing needed toughness and grit that this Timberwolves team has been lacking. And I just think they're going to bring that to the culture, and it's a big boost. Yet defense, all three of them, I think, can play it on a decent level, especially the bigger guys. But just running the court, we're going to play with a lot of pace this year. And there's some hope there and promise in these guys, too. They haven't got an opportunity that they're going to get this year, and I think they're ready to be untapped.
Yeah, I mean, guys that stuck out to me would be Noah Vonleh. Obviously, had a couple good years in Portland, played with the Knicks last year, and Vonleh just does the dirty work. A decent rebounder for his position, averaged 7 rebounds per game last year, 8 points per game, has kind of extended his range to a little bit of a 3-point shot. So that's promising. And then Jake Lehman, I swear, every time I watched the Portland Trailblazers game last year, that guy went off. I mean, he had some nice heat check moments. So you like that offensive possibility. And obviously, I'm sure Nick can say it more than anyone. You know, Napier in small sample sizes can be an offensive punch. Not much defense, but the guy can get buckets. And Trevion Graham, there's certainly some potential there. As well with Jordan Bell. You know, he didn't get a ton of runtime with that championship Warriors team that they were trying to compete. But there was definitely flashes there.
Yeah, I mean, you guys touched on them all. You look at Jake Layman, that's a solid wing. You pick up a forward that gives you some nice depth. Noah Vonleh and Jordan Bell just showed a lot of potential in the previous spots. Obviously, Vonleh had a career year with the Knicks and, in my opinion, really, like, saved his NBA career. I'll tell you about Trevion Graham. Doesn't really give you much offensively. Brings toughness. But last year, he was really banged up. So if he's healthy, maybe he can shoot a better percentage from three. And I'll say this about Shabazz. Not a point guard, but he's a pure scorer. You know, if you need 30 one night, he might be able to get it for you. He's not going to run the show well. A lot of that's due to his size, being undersized, having trouble with the pick and roll, seeing over other players. But he can get buckets. He can get you free throws. So I think, like you said, Zach, it's not necessarily the best names, but these are all guys that can provide you some value. And then you look at guys like Vonleh and Bell. They probably haven't reached your ceilings.
You got it. And like you guys mentioned, we needed defense and shooting. That was the most important thing. I think we added all of that. And rebounding to go along with it. Even though these guys might not be the best three-point shooters, I think they're all willing to take them, and that's the first step. Just chalk them up and see what happens.
Yeah, and you mentioned pace. Having guys like Vonleh and Bell who can run, I think, will be really good for the team. But talking about departures, Derrick Rose, Tyus Jones, Taj Gibson, Jared Bayless, Anthony Tolliver, Mitchell Creek, CJ Williams. Out of these guys, who do you wish they're able to keep?
To be honest, the only one I truly think about, I mean, first of all, I mean, I would have loved Tyus Jones. He'd have been the main one. But his contract, no thanks. Peace out, son.
Yeah.
that was pretty easy for me, and I'm glad. The funny thing is, Minnesota only claimed they were only a couple million off, and I still probably would have been pissed. So I'll take it. He's gone, which is great. And I think he's going to do really well in Memphis and excited for his opportunity there. But Derrick Rose was the big one. I'm a Rose fan, as a player, that is. And with that said, I just think his game is developing more and to able to fit a role and the need for teams. I think he's going to be great in Detroit this year. However, I'm not that mad for losing him because along with Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose was one of the main reasons Andrew Wiggins declined by helping put him in the corner and give him less shots and opportunity and responsibility.
Yeah, I don't think you missed anyone overly much. If you missed the fact that Rose is a big time name and had obviously the 50-point game was emotional and really fun to watch. But long term, you know, they didn't lose any young talent that's going to put this team back.
Be honest, you cried. Yeah, like, I cried, right?
I definitely had some fun conversation with Rose Staines after that night. The Rose love was at a high level that night.
It was good for him to get that. Obviously, the off the court stuff is what's kind of hard to make your rooting for Rose, but that's for a whole nother podcast. I would say Taj Gibson and Anthony Tolliver from a leadership perspective, but overall talent wise, like you guys kind of mentioned, it wasn't necessarily a big loss. And Tyus Jones with the contract just wasn't a great move, but. Talking team X factor for next season, what would be the biggest X factor that's not a specific player and not health?
Specific X factor and not health. Okay. For me, it's just finding the starting lineup. I think there's going to be a lot of different ones, and Ryan Saunders isn't going to be afraid to tinker with it. But it's literally narrowing down that starting lineup sooner than later is just going to be the most important and getting these guys established roles because – I think that's a lot of their issues and where the confidence is going to go. They got to understand what's going to be expected, what's going to be the system here going forward. And it's just developing that early and often and drilling it into these guys' heads. I just think they're players that need that. And so the point guard spot's going to be the main one, but it's really how these other guys are going to play and cater around them. I mean, you name the player outside of Robert Covington. I mean, Wiggins is a little closer to that as well. You're really unsure of how the rest of the team are going to play individually and as a team. So that's the biggest X factor for me.
My X factor is going to Ryan Saunders. For one, I think obviously Saunders took over last year and finished 17-25. And also just for the fact that the Timberwolves have had, you know, a couple different head coaches these last few years. And I think it's with all these young guys on roster, it'd be nice for Saunders to be the guy going forward to kind of get some stability to the Timberwolves as a coaching staff, setting a culture. And, of course, Saunders going into his first full season, you know, obviously the guys look like they love playing for him, which is a plus. Right. You know, we saw these guys kind of rally behind him, especially after he got his first win. So does that get something out of Andrew Wiggins? Does he help the development of these young guys? Does he help the defense get on track? Because obviously under Tom Thibodeau, you know, it wasn't great last year. So what does Ryan Saunders bring to the table, and is this the coach going forward?
That's a good one, Corey. I'm going to go with just offensive, you know, in playmaking. Just that's my worry with this. Zach mentioned early on that the defense could be good for this team. I'm just worried about where they're going to get the offense created from, especially for others. I mentioned Shabazz not being necessarily a great true point guard. Jeff Teague didn't have a great year last year. It's a lot of pressure on Cat, and I want to see if other guys can kind of step up offensively and relieve some of his duties.
Offensively. So do you have a guy pinpointed for me?
No, I don't. I don't.
That's why they're your X factor.
Yeah, because I don't know where it's coming from.
I think our offensive lineup's going to be really heavily in our starters for sure. But I believe Napier, Lehman, and then just sprinkled in from guys all around. That's why we need to go very deep in order to untap that. But yeah, that's a good X factor for sure. I think we got scores.
And you hinted at pace. I think with this team, if you're going to play deep, I think that's the best way because the half-court sets might be more difficult to score. If they can get things moving, I think that'd be good for the team. But talking starting lineup on opening night, what do you guys got?
Yeah, so I think it's pretty set and a no-brainer for sure. I mean, right now it's Teague, Culver, Wiggins, Rocco, and Towns. But I'm not a very big Teague guy, even though I've seen and heard he's in great shape right now, and he's on a contract year, so that's one plus that I'm really excited for. So I mean, that's who I would start, but I would honestly prefer, I mean, somebody to get a pair of balls and put Okogie in there sooner than later, and just switch it up at the point guard spot and run through various guys, Culver, Covington, Towns. I'm just a big Teague hater, though. That's the biggest thing.
So you think,
I don't think there's a ton of Teague fans.
So you're having them go small, because that was like my biggest question mark is if they're going to go small, like
they
Robinson can play the power forward for sure.
Like that. Yeah. So we're not for sure he can play it, but we're like, that's been Saunders has said that's what they're doing to start the year. So we'll see.
Gotcha. Because like this is what I had. So my starting five was Teague, Wiggins, Covington, and then I was tossed up between either Vonleh or Deng and then Towns. But if they're going to go small, then I could definitely see Okogie or Culver taking that starting spot. I didn't think they would give Culver the chance to start so soon.
They better. I mean, he's a sixth pick, and we don't have shit on our team, really. So you got to let this boy run.
Yeah, I think I pretty much have similar to Zach. I think it's a toss-up of the two, though. I have Jeff Teague, Wiggins, Covington, and Towns. And then at that two spot, I can see them rolling with Okogie, or, you know, if they want to just let, you know, the young guy out and send Culver out there to the dogs, then do it. But I think either way, that would probably be the only change that I could see. Do you think, Zach, that Wiggins could play his way to the starting lineup, or that he's pretty much locked in there all year?
Wow, you guys are that low on him.
I'm just asking the question. I didn't...
All right. You won't be alone. I mean, you won't be, but I don't think there's any way he can play his way out of it. The thing is, I just think Saunders is going to unlock this guy again. I mean, the dude's had 740-point games in his career. His dunks have just gone down dramatically, but he's going to be dunking a lot this year because they're going to be running it, and they know it's a make-or-break year for Wiggs, and that's been their biggest agenda this offseason, making it literally about Wiggs and getting him involved. So, honestly, but think about it, the only guy that's really going to replace him is Jake Lehman or Josh Okogie. But then if you put in Okogie, you got to bring in Jordan Bell or Vonleh, and things get really weird at that point. So, I think you just got to – say if he's not shooting right and he's just going through a lot of woes there and being kind of a liability on defense, you got to just tell this guy to run and dunk the shit out of the basketball.
We just want you to run all game. No,
exactly. I know. I just run, cut. But here's the problem. He can run, but we're not sure he can cut. The dude's never made a cut in his life, I don't think.
And, I mean, like he's got the great body type. He's quick. He's, you know, fast twitch fibers all over the place. But who's your player to watch?
Tell me about it. Player to watch. So, just favorite guy I like to watch, or?
Just like who's a guy that, you know, people should stick at, that's going to stick out next year, you know, like, all right, keep an eye on this guy. It could either be like he's going to have a breakout season, or maybe he's going to be the reason the Timberwolves are good or bad. Just anybody who's kind of almost a player X factor.
Okay. So everybody, you kind of know what you're getting, to be honest. The guys, I mean, Andrew Wiggins, definitely. You never know, though. I mean, obviously, that's why we're talking about. He's the biggest question mark there is. But guys that you're just super uncertain about that could just take a huge jump or be really good, or you just don't know right away, is for me, the easiest ones are Jarrett Culver and Josh Okogie. So I'd go Culver because there's way more offensive upside. And just he's going to have a huge role right away, I'd imagine. I pray to God that he does. So, yeah, he's pretty easy for me.
So first, I want to say honorable mention to Josh Okogie. Obviously, the defense is fantastic. We saw him lock up Harden last year. We saw the prowess he has on that end of the floor. Is there anything offensive? But still, for me, the main player to watch is Andrew Wiggins, a guy making $27 million a year. Obviously, we've been talking about the huge step back which he took last year. Is there a step forward? You know, are we going to be talking about Andrew Wiggins getting maybe dumped off to somewhere this season? Do we see him, as Nick even asked the question, is there a possibility where he ends up on the bench? Obviously, there's just so much uncertainty about a guy who was once compared to LeBron James while he was playing at Kansas.
You had to be on crack if that was your comparison. Like,
right.
That was some good crack, too. I mean,
hey, OJ Wiggins once compared to LeBron as well. There's been plenty of players.
Deshaun Stevenson and Michael Jordan, yeah. Comparison, you remember that?
And also, like, it's just mean. It's really mean to say this 18-year-old is going to be the next LeBron James. Like, that's a
tough, it's terrible.
To up to. But yeah, it's Wiggins, you know. If Wiggins plays like he did his sophomore year or his junior year in this league, and Cat's playing how he is playing, then the Timberwolves are easily playing for the 8th spot. But I think Wiggins has to be that clear-cut number 2 guy, and we just don't know if he's going to be that.
Yeah, same thing over here. I'm going to go with Wiggins, just pretty much all the same reasons, Corey. They just need him to pop off and be that guy and be that potential all-star you saw earlier in his career and just kind of clear everything out, focus on what he's doing, improve that 3-point shot. Like Zach said, make a cut for the first time in his career. Just take his game to another level. But talking about the
real quick, I just want to make a note. Like, I'm not expecting, I mean, yeah, he should be. I mean, we're paying him and he has the potential to be our number 2 guy. I'm not expecting it, nor do I really demand it, because I think Robert Covington could be close to that 20 points per game and be our number 2 guy if he reaches the potential I see in him, even though I'm not sure he's going to be that aggressive, to be honest, to get to that point, just because he is such a team player. I just think Wiggins, we need to see positivity and growth basically everywhere in his game and increased efficiency. I don't really care what the basic numbers say, but the efficiency and the advanced ones need to increase dramatically.
Essentially just be a good basketball player. But yes. Zach, you mentioned Covington taking a jump to 20 points per game. What would he need to do for that to happen?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, only shoot the ball maybe 1 or 2 more times. He's averaged 17 a couple times in his career, and he shoots pretty dang good percentages. So, honestly, it's just taking a couple more shots. And he's a guy, I mean, when he came on our show, he basically said he's not that guy to go out and be that aggressive. But he sees himself having the opportunity of a lifetime this year. He understands that and agrees to it. I'm sorry. I guess he only averaged 15 at his high. So, he'd need to do a lot more. So his career high was averaging 11 points or 11 field goal attempts a game. So, to be honest, he'd probably need to be close to that 14 mark to actually get close. And, I mean, that's 3 more shots, but with Wiggins taking an increased role with Butler being gone and Culver coming in and taking a big role, you never know, especially with this team running deep and him coming off a pretty major injury. So, yeah, I mean, really it's just shot attempts because the dude can shoot good percentages, no doubt.
All right, moving on from Covington, now talking for the overall season for the Timberwolves, what would be the worst-case scenario?
The worst-case scenario is Towns goes down.
We don't want to think about injuries.
No, I just said that, and I feel like I've been rhyming a lot this show for some reason. I don't know why. It's just coming out. But anyways, the worst case scenario I'd say is probably low 30s and wins. And that's with everybody being healthy. It's just really Towns not getting any help and, low 30s. But if everybody's healthy, I really don't see that at all.
Yeah, I think worst case scenario is low 30s and wins, and it's just Towns being good, and it's similar to like a Sun situation where there's not very much going on around Towns, and we're just watching Towns, and maybe it's the first rumblings of Towns saying he's unhappy, and I'm sorry, Zach, to even put that in the air.
Come on!
But that would be worst case scenario, I think.
I think bottom right chip of my heart just fell off. But yeah, that would be the worst. And hey, we aren't even close to that Devin Booker point because Towns can actually win above 20 games. So don't give me that.
True. No, yeah. It's my only comparison of a star kind of
game. Yeah, well, pretty much the same thing as Corey here. A lottery team would be worst case scenario, and then maybe you hear the rumblings about Cat being unhappy and just kind of putting more pressure on the front office. Not demanding a trade yet, but you can kind of see it possibly coming up in the future. But on a positive note, best case scenario.
Yeah, best case scenario is probably the 7th seed. I think realistically it's the 8th. But I truly think we'll be in the hunt most of the year as long as everybody's healthy and taking the leaps and the potential I see in this team. But that's not a guarantee. They do take the leaps that are needed and whatnot. So highest potential from like a wins perspective, I think the 7-8 seed could be probably around 44 to 46. I'm going to put it at 44.
My best case scenario is the playoff spot, whether that's 7th or the 8th seed, somewhere between 46 to 44 wins. That's best case. And Towns is a monster. Wiggins is the clear-cut number 2. Covington's healthy, hitting threes. Teague doesn't look, you know, like a trash bin anymore. that's best case scenario.
Yeah, similar to you guys, I think best case scenario would just be one of those bottom playoff teams, you know, and hopefully have a competitive first round matchup. But what would be your actual prediction for the season, and where will they finish in their division?
Yeah, so in the division, it'd be Denver and Portland in that order, and then it'd be us.
You got a Utah in there, don't you?
Oh, shoot, you're right. All right, I wasn't looking at the division here. We would be 4. I think all 4 teams could make the playoffs, though, to be honest. My realistic win total, I'm going to put us at right at 39.
It's my actual prediction. I have the Timberwolves finishing 4th in the Northwest Division, and I have them finishing with the same win total as last year, or one more, 37 wins, and finishing somewhere between the 9 and 11 seed, but being in the hunt for most of the year.
Yeah, 4th in the division, 35 wins, being in the hunt, but I just don't necessarily think they have enough unless they maybe can pull some type of trade to add a little bit more talent to push them over the top, but... Any
I've
other team?
Liked Corey better anyway. It's all right.
We're good. Any other thoughts on the Timberwolves before we move on to the league pass?
Let's see here. Any other thoughts? I mean, we didn't even talk about our exciting young coach and our amazing front office that we got here. And man, that's probably the most exciting part about our offseason, those additions. I just think we got as good of a front office, honestly, as many. Not, I mean, there's obviously the Daryl Morey's and the Sam Presti's, and those are the two that stick out, but I think we're right there, top 5 potential in this front office, and be on the lookout. We're going to be very active. So, I mean, we missed out on D'Lo. I think deep down these guys thought about Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. They just didn't get active because he just got in there, and that would be a crazy, ridiculous move.
What do you think the issue was in not signing D'Angelo? They just couldn't get the money in time, and Golden State was already there to pounce.
I mean, it's pretty simple and straightforward. You get the dude gets offered to go to the world champions and one of the greatest teams in the NBA versus cold Minnesota. I mean, it's pretty no-brainer. It's San Francisco or Minnesota. I, as much as I love my home and my squad, I would have done that in a heartbeat. I don't blame the guy. So, I mean, and also there was some there are benefits there as well. I mean, with Kevin Durant and being able to make a move there. So they both came out positive, and I think he was all for helping Brooklyn out as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to the Timberwolves not being able to just like seal the deal because I know Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo have wanted to play together and obviously Devin Booker too. But I mean, we can talk about that later in the season if things don't work out in Golden State. But moving on from there, league pass wise, where would you rate the Timberwolves 1 through 10?
Yeah, so for me, obviously, if bias 10, but to be fair for everybody else, I would put us at about a 7.5. I mean, maybe a 7, but I don't see how you can have a top 15 talent in Towns and not be at least that, and especially with a Bomber in Covington and just some unknown young potential that I think could be very exciting.
All right, so you set me up to disappoint Tim. Like,
I remember you said you like Corey
you've
better
always been hard
before.
on this. I mean, Corey, I've been giving you love, man. Now you're just
That's
gonna
fair.
break my.
I'm tough in the league pass rate, so I went with a 5, and I took
Oh,
3.5 of that
burn in
five.
hell.
Of that five, 3.5 is from just Towns. I think you're watching Towns, and then hopefully if Wiggins gets on track, this team becomes a little bit more interesting. I think you're watching for the young guys, but you're watching for Towns. And aside from that, a team that I don't think is going to make the playoffs off the rip, unless they start beating my expectations, then I'm probably not tuning in too much early on.
Yeah, I went with a 6, so I'm in between both of you guys. Pretty much for similar reasons. You're just watching Karl-Anthony Towns. You're hoping some of the other young talent can kind of pop off. But also, we have to rank all of these teams, so we can't be giving out high grades. It just wouldn't seem right. I was
I
doing too
mean,
many nines for a while.
that's fair, but give me a team that's similar that you're given a better grade than. Like,
Blazers at 5.5.
wow, that's so you just don't really like watching Dame and CJ, I take it?
Well, no, I just think I think that's what you're watching. You're just watching Dame McCollum, and not that I have it's not that it's the same old song and dance. I just think there's more teams this year that have more league pass appeal than the Blazers.
And we try not to give the same scores out. So we'll try to keep the nines to the high end teams like the Lakers or our personal teams, and then work our way down. It almost kind of similar to like, are you a contending team? If you're not a contending team, you better have like some of the best young talent in the NBA to be a high league pass rating for
Then
us. So
that's fair, and then my question wouldn't really work here if that's how you're doing things. Yeah.
yeah, so I mean, we have the luxury of doing all the teams. So, but TV show comparison for the Timberwolves. Now, Zach, this can be based off of watchability or it can be based off the plot of the TV show.
Yeah, to be honest, I forgot to do this one, so give me a second. You guys go first.
Or you go first.
So I picked Shameless, and this is a show that Nick has already used, I believe. Nick's definitely used this already on the show.
I use it for the Knicks, I believe, because it's a show that bad things happen and you consistently still want to watch.
And that's part of the reason why I picked Shameless. There's been just some bad luck with injuries. Obviously, the Jimmy Butler situation becoming chaotic. Shameless is known for the chaos that it causes. And if you watch the show, Lip Gallagher is one of the main characters. And every time he's on the, on the TV screen, and it's a scene with him in it, it's extremely entertaining to me. That's like Karl-Anthony Towns, and then like the supporting cast would be Fiona. And she's like the main character as well. But like hot or cold, like some minutes you're like, yeah, like this show is really good with Fiona. And the other minutes you're like, nah, you're kind of annoying and just dumb. And that's like Wiggins to a degree. And then the rest
I
of the
could
cast
that's
is kind of hit or miss like the rest of the Timberwolves. So Shameless.
good, I can dig it.
That's a good one, Corey. I just went with Legion here and just kind of based off the plot, the entire show is based off of one guy where the Timberwolves team is essentially all around one guy, Karl-Anthony Towns. And he's the one guy we know is going to be really good for them.
All right, that's fair. So yeah, I mean the Timberwolves franchise has really only been about one player ever, like going from KG to Love to Towns and or Wiggins first and then to Towns and Now it's just back to Towns and only Towns. So for me, it kind of comes up, I guess. There's other shows out there with that give you a lot of hope and then just falls apart and just things keep going wrong. Sure, I mean, those are two good examples. Dexter comes to mind for me. I don't know why, just right off the bat, but like, it just, we're good people, but we just, our hopes and dreams just keep getting destroyed. Yeah, exactly. I don't really know how to relate it any more than that. But that's, yeah, I just feel like I keep dying. A little piece of me keeps dying every year I root for this team.
Well, Zach, it was a pleasure having you on. Always a pleasure talking hoops with you, Corey. Zach, give yourself a shout out. Tell the people where they can find you on Twitter and find your work.
Yeah, so Zach Noble, ZAKNOBLE. That's where you find me on Twitter. That's basically where I am only. Don't really do Instagram or anything else. But my podcast is Four Seasons, 4SENS. Me and my partner Ryan are with Ball is Life there, so find us anywhere on Ball is Life. I normally put out 1 to 2 shows a week, and we try to pride ourselves on our guests. Have had 40-plus NBA players, so check us out. Appreciate it.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KWAL Hoops, KWAL Hoops. And, yeah.
And you can find Off the Glass on Twitter at OTG Basketball. Also find the website, otgbasketball.com. A lot of great content, including some NBA spooky season stuff. So keep an eye out for that. And obviously find the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, otgbasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, Knuckleheads.